The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back. You are listening to Hot Takes with your Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-hosts for this one are going to be Doug Aitchison at DAitchison23 and Chris Felico, Saved by Grace. That's buy as in purchase and saved with no E. If you want more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. The Boston Red Sox sit 1-5 and 30th out of 30 in Major League Baseball, absolutely taking this league by storm in all the wrong ways. Jeremy Schilling, our very own host, has said that you can't win a division or a season in a month, but you sure as bleep can lose it. So not feeling very great right now. It's been an unpleasant first six games, and I know I may be alone on that one, but I'm probably not. Doug, I know you've probably been to every single game at least twice this season, given your history. I don't know. You're like the Hermione Granger of sports. You probably went to a game twice. Anyways, so let's hit some hot takes. Doug, why don't you hit us with your hot take for this one? What do you got?
Yeah, so mine's coming in from Fist 27. At its fair Fist 27, Red Sox sit in last place in the AL East by the All-Star break, forcing midseason staff changes, is his hot take. And I agree with half of it. I don't think we will be sitting in last place in the AL East. I think we'll be ahead of the Rays by the All-Star break at least. But I do agree with the staff changes. I don't think Fatsy will last by then. I think he's just the first to go. I think he'll be the first domino. And, you know, if we're sitting in last place, there definitely will be staff changes. If we're sitting the second to last place, I think there still will be. And I think it starts with Fatsy before then. And then I think at the break, we could see a lot of changes. I think we could see, you know, possibly Breslow. It's hard to think they'll do that midseason, but, you know, we could see Cora, we could see Fatsy, we could see, you know, and if this pitching staff falls apart, you know, who knows? So I agree with half of his take. What do you guys think?
I could certainly see us being last place.
Yeah, I could see it too. Yeah.
I mean, in your scenario, I mean, if we're ahead of anyone, it would be the Rays, but I don't know by how much by the looks of it right now. I think that the Hobbs part of that take is actually the midseason staff changes, because to me, if you're in last place by midseason, like Fatsy's already gone, because you have already been so poor leading up to midseason at the All-Star break that I think that they would have already made every move that they will make, including getting rid of like a Pete Fatsy, maybe even an Andrew Bailey. To me, the only moves that would be left to make at that point would maybe be Cora, who I don't see them moving on midseason. And same thing with Breslow. To me, Cora, I could see almost a scenario where in the latter days of the year, almost like we did to Chaim Bloom, where out of nowhere you cut ties with him, and then they will basically put that on Breslow, make it look like it's his fault, his decision, and then he will be the sacrificial lamb in the offseason, if any. But yeah, I mean, it's sad because I don't even know how hot of a take this is outside of the midseason changes. Right now, I mean, we just look absolutely dreadful.
So to make matters that much more worse, April is an abysmal month for the Boston Red Sox. Your schedule from April 17th, which is in a couple of weeks, 1 month from that point, you have 4 games against Detroit, three games against the Yankees, three against Baltimore, three at Toronto, three more against Houston, three more in Detroit, four Tampa Bay, three in Philly, three in Atlanta, and then three in Kansas City. You don't get a cupcake until maybe Minnesota, which is May 22nd.
Wow.
You'll be lucky if you break even in those four game series. We will be 10 games under or more by the end of May. We will be one of the last place teams if we don't figure it the bleep out. It's embarrassing because if you can't put up five runs minimum in a game, you probably aren't going to win that game. In fact, I'm going to say 90% of the time, if you don't put up a four or five spot, you're going to lose. You only won the first game because Garrett Crochet pitched. If anybody else had given up four or five runs, we're sitting 0-6. 0-6, we're the only game without, we're the only team without a win. So I definitely agree with that sentiment that, yeah, the Red Sox sit in last place in the AL East. Dude, American League, not just the East. There's a chance we could be so bad if it doesn't turn around quick, we could be the worst team in the American League. 15 out of 15. Right now, we're sitting 30 out of 30 with a 1-5 record. We've scored 17 runs in six games. That's less than three runs per. That's not going to get it done. So for all those, you know, people that are saying, oh, well, you know, it's just going to take a blowout. Like, guys, we've already seen a couple and they haven't gone in our direction. And if you can't give the run support for Garrett Crochet and he gives up, as Doug had mentioned right before we went on the air, the judge special, three-run Johnny, you're going to get punished when you can't score three runs until inning eight. You need to score early. You need to score fast. You need to stop making boneheaded decisions and mistakes because those are going to cost you. You can't make fielding mistakes. You can't get picked off on first base. And I love Jaron Duran. I am a Jaron Duran supporter in every fashion. I hated seeing that happen to him. I know he was gutted. We were all gutted. It sucked. But you're not at a place where you're scoring runs at will where you can afford to take chances and make those risks. Fatsy, goodbye. I'm ready to ship him now at this point. You could bring literally anybody else, any retired player in here. I'd rather see what they have because, you know, people could say, oh, well, you know, you didn't replace Devers. That's true. You didn't place O'Neill. That's true. Alex Bregman is gone. He was never a power hitter, so let's stop pretending. But you haven't done a good job of replacing power with power. And there are no true sexy names here. The amount of pressure that has been placed on the shoulders of Roman Anthony is absolutely insane. You cannot expect a 21-year-old kid, as I think Terry mentioned, in theory, junior in college, who barely is legally able to drink, the pressure of Boston on his shoulders. It just doesn't, it's not... It's just not real life. And here we are having to experience it. So when he has a golden sombrero or a sombrero strikeout in a game, that sucks. That's going to happen. Rookie struggles. But I don't remember who it was exactly that said we need to stop, you know, having rookies challenge the ABS call and whatnot. I'm for that. You know, if you haven't been in the league X amount of years, just take it. Because if you do, you should be dropping, giving 25 pushups. You should not be doing that if you have less than 100 games on your under your belt. You should not. It's a bad message, especially if you get it wrong. Because now you tried showing up the umpire and you were wrong twice. Once because you thought he was wrong and then twice when everybody had to rewatch it again. So Fatsy's got to go. I don't know who I blame more. If it's Cora who's being told what needs to be done as far as the lineup is concerned, or if somebody from above is saying, this is your lineup. This isn't like Dave Roberts managing the Los Angeles Dodgers, who has the easiest job in baseball. You don't have to manage players. You just have to manage egos. You just have to make sure that everybody is playing nice and holding hands. In Boston, you have to manage talent, egos, BS, and everything. You got players that are being benched for who knows what reason. We still are not 100% sure. And even if someone told me, I still don't know if I would believe it. We're six games in and we're not looking like a Major League Baseball team. We're not ready. We're not ready. And it's the first week of the season. It's that bad. So it reminds me a couple of years ago when they were resting certain guys, Alex Cora was resting certain starters during spring training so that they would have the month of April to almost act as like a secondary spring training. And it was a disaster. So whoever's making the decision to punt the first week of the season and bench some of your star players, benching Jaren Duran, I don't get it. Willier Braves been one of your biggest bats. At this point, I don't care if someone were to say, oh, well, he can't hit lefties or he can't hit righties. If he's your best hitter right now, he should be in your lineup. And he shouldn't be hitting where he is in your lineup. He should be hitting a lot higher. So there's a lot of problems right now. And I don't know who's to blame, but if they don't figure it out, they're going to all be demoted to a job that involves touching you-know-what with their hands. So they need to figure it out. And fast. Anything else you guys want to add?
No. Just I think we're all in agreement that, you know, Fatsy will be the first to go. Because it's not like it's too early in the season, because he's been around. You know, he's been around for five seasons or so. So, you know, I do, you know, I might be crazy, but I do think this weekend they will turn it around a bit. But if they don't, if this weekend is like just another sweep, abysmal, I think you could pull the hook on Fatsy that quick.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that this is probably the least talented lineup that Fatsy's had to work with. And I would argue he's underachieved with every single one that he's had. So for us to expect him to turn, you know, a turd into a diamond just doesn't make sense at this point. So he will be the first to go. And I don't think it's going to change much.
And we can blame coaches all we want. The guys are still professional hitters and need to hit the ball.
That's true. That's part of it.
That too. You know, they get some blame too.
Chris, what do you got?
All right. Let's see. I've got Evan at the ball cleaner. Brian Bayo will not have a roster spot at the deadline. And I mean, looking at the way he pitched the other night, doesn't necessarily seem like such a hot take at face value. However, when you look at the rest of the pitchers on this staff and rotation, I find it hard to believe that he won't have a rotation spot, because as bad as he was, I'd still take him over Sonny Gray. Connor Lierley is probably the only pitcher on this staff, as far as the starting rotation, that I would say I would 100% take over Brian Bayo in this moment in a big spot. I can't say that about Ranger Suarez, not when he's got the Red Sox hitting for him and he doesn't have the Philadelphia Phillies. I certainly wouldn't say that for Sonny Gray. And then Oviedo, and insert any other name. Tanner Houck, I mean, he's hurt. Who knows what's going to happen when he comes back. I forgot Cutter Crawford's even alive at this point. Who knows what's going to ever happen with him. But I mean, when you look at the depth that we have outside of the bullpen, just for the rotation, I mean, that is a very, very strong statement to say that Brian Bayo does. And if he doesn't, then I will tell you, we will be on absolute fire in that moment, to the point where who gives a bleep?
Yeah, I agree. I am a Bayo guy. I like Bayo. I like Bayo a lot. And, I think this is, I mean, that's a hot take. Cause I think that's a little far. You know, I do think he'll be one of our better pitchers. Like you said, I'm not saying he'll be great, but just by default, he will be one of our better pitchers, I think. And I do trust him. You know, he's gotten better every year that he's been a Red Sox. And last year was his best year. The year before that was his best, you know. So he didn't have the worst start. He fell apart in the fifth and stuff, but I thought through the first four, he looked all right. And, you know, I think he'll be a good starting pitcher, you know, and I don't think he'll be terrible. I don't think he'll be anything great, but good enough to be a middle rotation, end of the rotation guy.
Here's my problem with this. And Evan, I appreciate the take. Brian Bayo will not have a roster spot at the deadline. You have moved not one, not two, not three, but four names that could, in theory, still be here, not counting Cutter Crawford, who's injured and in the witness protection program, and Tanner Houck, who's still recovering. You traded away Kyle Harrison for someone that I still don't understand his purpose right now. I thought maybe it could have been cool, but he's a gadget guy. No disrespect to short guys, hello, myself, but like, what is your purpose? If your goal was to be getting someone who can nerf and hit balls in, you know, funky spots, you're now going to try hitting at one of the hardest parks in baseball, where one, maybe none of your home runs last year would have been counted at Fenway. Do we know how many of his home runs last year would have been home run at Fenway? Is it one or none? I honestly don't know.
I remember it was something like that. Yeah.
Okay. It was a very small number. Less than.
Why are you here? What is your purpose? Kyle Harrison was one of the only pieces we got that we still had at the time when we traded away Rafi Devers. You know, we traded away Tibbs for Dustin May, who we just, he ended and that was it. Tibbs, by the way, is hitting 545 in AAA right now in the Dodgers farm system. He's absolutely torching it right now. Would be a great person to have in our farm. And then the password, he's also gone because we added Oviedo, who hasn't done great so far. There's another person in your farm system that's not there anymore. So you've depleted your farm with two possibly great bits of talent, and you've replaced it with a pitcher who you let go, Oviedo, who hasn't done well, and then you traded Kyle Harrison away, who did spectacular in his first start, not in Boston. And the worst part is that it's the second pitcher that's gone to Milwaukee that has had an exponentially great experience after leaving Boston. So what in God's holy name, I have to ask, what are we doing with pitchers that is making them absolutely just lethargic at doing their job and pitching well in Boston, and then finding Jesus when they leave Boston? Because it's infuriating watching players light it up. And here's the thing. We're going to be facing some former friends in the next coming series. Bueller was dispatched, and ended up doing, I think, fine when he was a member of the Phillies. I don't know if there's a pitcher that wants to shove it to Boston more than him right now. And honestly, if he goes out there and gives you 5-6 plus and strikes out 6 or 7, whatever, I don't think his fastball is nearly where it used to be. I think he blew himself out after the World Series. That should be a warning flag. If you're not raising the flags already, if that doesn't do it for you and you still have faith in people like your rotation that still hasn't shown up, they're still unhealthy, or players that haven't come back because they're still injured or have been injured for over a year, or it feels like over a year, what are you doing? Are you the type of person that thinks, oh, if the Red Sox don't, you know, if, you know, it's okay, we'll get there eventually. Well, eventually isn't good enough in Boston. And that's what's happening right now. So if Bayo doesn't have a spot in that rotation, who are you replacing him with? Oviedo? I don't think so. Peyton Tolley? Not until he develops another pitch. I don't see that happening either. Garrett Whitlock? LOL, bro. It's not happening. We continue to make dumb decisions with the starting rotation, and it is continuing to bone us in ways that are just unfathomable, and it's infuriating. It is, honestly, every single time I see a starting pitcher get traded, I'm like, get ready for a 15-win, 200-strikeout season. Kyle Harrison is the type of guy that could probably get 15, 16 wins and strike out 200 guys. I'm calling it right now. Harrison will get you 14, 15 wins in Milwaukee, and he will strike out minimum 180 guys to 200 this year in Milwaukee. He's going to get it done. He's going to do it, and he's going to be laughing all the way. And we're going to be sitting there saying, oh, wow, if only. So, yeah, if Bayo's not here anymore, then you've literally put a fork in this team. Chicken's done. It's over. You put so much pressure on the names that you currently have. And if they don't all deliver, what's your backup plan? Pray? Sorry, that doesn't work in baseball. Hope is not a strategy. So I'm terrified if this doesn't work out. Chris, anything else you want to add to your point?
Yeah, I want to expand upon the point you made as far as with the trades to Milwaukee, because, you know, number one, it should be illegal for the Red Sox to trade with Milwaukee when there's a pitcher involved coming from Boston. That's one. Two, I don't know what's worse, because, you know, it makes me angry enough when you send a player somewhere else and they just didn't work out for you and they become a star. But it's somewhat understandable, right? Because there could be many factors. It could be the fact that they just can't handle it in Boston. They go to a smaller market, etc. But nothing pisses me off more than when you send someone that you never gave a true chance to and they go and they absolutely light it up. And we've now done it twice, because Kyle Harrison didn't get a fair shake in Boston. In fact, he didn't get a chance in Boston. And you know who else didn't? Quinn Priester. Both of them absolutely lit it up as soon as they got their chance at Milwaukee. And it's not like the Brewers don't play big baseball. They might not in October, but, I mean, they do in the regular season. And you got to have big games in the regular season to get to October. And to be honest with you, the Brewers have been better at it than almost anyone besides the Dodgers over the last five seasons. They're sure better at it than the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's all. I agree. I mean, you guys just put, you know, everything you're saying is right. It's just there's just so little hope right now with what's going on. You know that.
I'll say this much.
I agree. You know, the Milwaukee stuff. Yeah. It's tough. You know, it's tough watching Kyle Harrison. You know, the Quinn Priester thing, like. Is one, the Quinn Priester thing is a little different. It's one thing, but the Kyle Harrison's like, you just didn't give him a chance. And we were begging for chances for him. And then he didn't get one, and now he's gone. And I agree. I think he's going to be very good.
Not looking, how many starts do you think they both had combined in Boston?
Like on the Sox or just like in the
Sox? Yeah. Kyle Harrison and Quinton Priester, how many starts did they have combined?
One
start.
Yeah, I was going to say it's one. It's Quinton Priester.
Just a cut, yeah.
Priester had one start, five innings, struck out a pair, allowed a run for a couple hits. That's it. Yeah. That's it. That's the chance you got.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally it. But you have other pitchers that you've just opened the door. Like, please, sure, you've won a Cy Young 18 years ago. Let's give you a shot. It just, right. it defies logic. And we got Quinton Priester when we traded, I think it was Nick York. Nick York was the piece that left when we got Priester. And York was highly regarded. I don't think he's really doing that much in Pittsburgh right now. I believe he's still there. But you lost York, who was one of your highly touted prospects. Didn't turn out. Whatever. Priester was supposed to be your replacement. You gave him one start. That's it. Harrison, you gave him nothing. You didn't even give him a chance. And already in his only start this year, I believe he struck out 8.
Yeah.
So, you know what? What's to stop him from, you know, striking out 10 or a dozen? Or who knows? I don't think he's going to challenge for the Cy Young this year. But, man, I mean, the Red Sox have a history of trading players that, you know, at least one time, but it counts. They trade away one that ended up getting the Triple Crown and Cy Young. And everyone keeps saying, oh, but you don't know what could have happened with Chris Sale. Like, dude, even if you get 50, 60% of Chris Sale, that's still better than 3/4 of your rotation or 3/5 of your rotation. I'd still rather have Chris Sale as your 4 or 5 guy than anybody else you're going to put out there. And I love Brian Bayo, but right now I'd still take Chris Sale over Bayo because I don't know what I'm going to get with him. I don't know. And that sucks. It sucks.
It's also a huge indictment on Craig Brezo and Andrew Bailey in the assessment account, specifically of pitchers, which was what their forte was supposed to be, because you get rid of Chris Sale for Vaughn Grissom, who you want to talk about never really getting a fair shot. Especially with the need that was on the table when he came to the team. Chris Sale, again, couldn't foresee him going out there and being a Cy Young, you know, competitor. But to your point, 60 to 70% is still better than most, specifically what the Red Sox have had in the last two seasons on your average start. And then Quinn Priester and Kyle Harrison. Like, you're telling me between Breslow, who's supposed to be this pitching savant, smartest man in baseball, and then Andrew Bailey, who's got his own lab where they're cooking meth more than pitchers at this point. it makes absolutely no sense. And it's absolutely a joke at this point, to be honest.
I don't think there's anything else that I can add to that one. Anything else, Dougie? Good.
No. Yeah.
All right. So this third one is coming to us from @KratosAngryGuy. This is from Nominous Umbras, the name. They stink. I'd like both Breslow and Cora fired. This roster is constructed like those puzzles in Tears of the Kingdom. Thank you, Chris, for sharing what that was. You need a magic F King prosthetic on your brain to make this roster make F King sense. Dot, dot, dot. Won't say the word live on the air, but we agree and we understand the sentiment. It is so eternally frustrating to see how they justified adding the pieces they did, and even more so, we talked about it already, giving the pieces away that you got. Because every single trade that the Boston Red Sox make, until one works, I will believe we will get fleeced. And not a little bit. I mean, bent over and properly spanked. Because that's what's happening in every trade. Anybody who thinks, oh yeah, like, oh, this is going to be great, we just got this player, expect it to suck until it doesn't. Because I don't remember the last trade the Red Sox made where I was like, let's go. Outside of Garrett Crochet, because I was pumped about that one. But outside of that one, we have not made any other ones that have made a lot of sense or actually worked out for us. What else do you want to know? Everyone's been a little bit concerned about like the catcher situation. I'll raise my hand. I didn't see Connor Wong having two extra base hits this early in the season. He didn't have his first extra base hit until like June or May. I forget what it was. I had to look it up the last time. He just couldn't do it. He was just awful. He was just so bad at hitting. It was insane. I don't know what happened to him. I don't even think Connor Wong had a home run last year, if I'm not mistaken. It was really like Carlos Narvaez that was hitting bombs. That was it. But someone can fact check me if I'm wrong on it. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa used to be a catcher. He was a catcher that got converted. So that's in theory like your third catcher. And I think, I can't prove it, but I bet that was one of the reasons why they got him. Because that was going to be your backup if something didn't work out. God forbid something fell through, one of them goes down, and you need to have a catcher. You have somebody that doesn't have really a lot of pop. I still can't justify the $6 million spend. And we were unwilling to give that money to Rob Refsnyder, who's done very well for us in a limited capacity and knows full well that he's not a full-time starter, but a role player that did his job and did it well. And we were unwilling to bring him back. So I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, thank you, Chris, for explaining that that was a Legend of Zelda game. You're absolutely right. This is one where the rules are, we don't know. You're given a game with no directions and you have to figure it the bleep out. And, when someone tells you this is what you're supposed to do, it's actually not what you're supposed to do. It's opposite day, a day late for April Fools. That's how sad this team is. Like, and everyone's like, oh, people might say, oh, you guys hate the Red Sox. You guys are so negative. Find me something that went well outside of the first game of the season. I'll wait. Because I can't come up with something that just isn't there. You can't say, oh, well, they're starting to find pop in the eighth or ninth inning, and that's great. Well, when the game's already lost, I don't care. It doesn't matter if you lose by 1 or 10, a loss is a loss. And at the end of the day, John Madden-ism, if you lose more games, you're probably like a worse team. So you need to win more in order to do better. And we're not doing it. So 1-5 isn't cutting the cheese. And we're not even 10 games into the season, not throwing up the red flags yet, but I'm starting to get pretty PO'd. Dougie.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And his point about the lineup is, I think, the point. Like, we've talked about the pitching staff mostly so far, but the problem is the lineup, right? And even as bad as the pitching has been, I think I still believe in our pitching staff more than I believe in our lineup at this point. And, you know, it's just not, you just getting, it's just nothing. You know, I like to see the pinch hit home run from Roman. You know, it's good to see. I think it's good to see him, you know, that he can just kind of walk off the dugout and hit a home run. You know, I think it's good for maybe his DH potential, since I can throw the ball further than he can, I think, at this point. But it's just the lineup not producing. And he's completely right. It's, I don't think they're going to fire, you know, Cora right now, or maybe even this during the season. And I don't even know if I necessarily want them to fire Cora. But if they fired him, I wouldn't be mad about it. I wouldn't be shocked. It would just be a, yeah, you know, I kind of see that coming. And, you know, it might be exciting, you know, to see who they bring in. It might not, you know. So I'm not a Cora hater, right? So I'm not calling for Cora's job, but he's on the hot seat, you know, for the hot takes episode. Cora's on the hot seat for sure.
Yeah, this is a hell of a hot take. What makes it a hot take is anyone that knows a Legend of Zelda games knows how ridiculously hard and complex the puzzles and riddles are for a freaking child. Because let's face it, it's a child's game on Nintendo. And the fact that any professional general manager or vice president of baseball operations, whatever you want to call them, could construct a roster as confusing as one of those puzzles, like, hats off to you, because it's nearly damn impossible. So, I mean, you guys hit the nail on the head with a lot of your points. I don't know how we got here. What scares me, to your point, Doug, is that I look at this roster and I look at the talent that it has, and outside of Crochet and Roman Anthony, if I fire Cora, like, who the hell wants this job? And then if you fire Breslow, who wants this job? Yeah, they still, I mean, pending they don't get rid of, like, more of the farm in mind-numbing fashion where it doesn't make sense, because they've done that all the last two seasons. To me, it's just like, who's going to want it? Like, think about the Patriots. If they didn't have Drake May, would Mike Vrabel have wanted to go to the New England Patriots? Probably not. But they have Drake May. There's no Drake May on the Boston Red Sox. You want Roman Anthony to be Drake May, but he's not Drake May. And Crochet, the problem with a pitcher is when that's your best player on the team, they're in it one every five starts, one every five games. It's not enough of an impact.
Veritek's been in the dugout for a long time now. Has there ever been any talk about him wanting to be a head manager or anything?
I don't think he's ever said he wanted to do it.
I don't ever really remember hearing it, but he's been in the dugout for a long time now.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Do you want to be manager of this team? Would you want to put your name to this right now?
Well, I think for someone like him, where he hasn't had the opportunity, if he wants it, maybe, especially with the lure of the fact that he was the Boston Red Sox, my question is, do we want him? Like, yes, I know he was the captain, great player, great career, heroic stuff as a player. But to me, like, I look at this like it's a business, right? Like, he has been here while it's a problem. So is he a part of the problem? That might not necessarily be fair, but I think it begs the question, is he part of the solution? And I think that's a fair question.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Like, he has been here for a couple of years working under a bunch of morons. So my fear is, does he only know moronic things now? And he doesn't have that experience as a manager at the major league level. So, I mean, listen, anything's probably better than what we have right now, but I also don't want to just get rid of someone and end up giving it to a first-time manager that's not proven. And then the problem is, we all know there's going to come a day where you're going to have to fire Veritek, and then it's like, what does that look like? Because he's a Boston legend.
No, you don't want to do that for so many reasons. You're going to let Veritek be a special advisor. There's a lot of things that Veritek has done not baseball-related, like when the late Tim Wakefield and his wife had both passed, like, Veritek stepped up and was like, you got like a bunch of uncles here. You got 25 uncles that are going to take care of you guys. Like, we're going to make sure that you guys are all set to both of their kids. And that's a pretty honorable thing to do. You're married, you have your own kids, and you're going to also make sure that, you know, one of your friends and longtime colleagues and ball player friends, you know, when he unfortunately passed way too soon, you're taking care of them. And I mean, he's done so much good for the team, and people can say whatever about Veritek, but I won't say anything bad about him. And I truthfully, even if you want to be manager, I don't know if I would be able to let him do it, because I don't want to be there on the day that he has to get, you know, let go. Because you, as a manager, when you take that job, very few people have the opportunity to walk away on their terms. You accept that job knowing one day you will be fired. Yeah. And that's an awkward, uncomfortable day and an awkward, uncomfortable feeling, especially for a team that you spent your entire career with. It's awkward, uncomfortable, and it would give me the same feeling, maybe worse, I don't know, when Don Orsillo did not come back to Boston. And that was not Don's choosing. Don wanted to be here. And to this day, no one will ever know what happened behind closed doors. Don's too much of a class act to share what's going on. I don't think they gave him a gag order. But I know Terry, for one, would love to have Don Orsillo back. He would rather listen to like the six-year-old broadcast than hear what we currently have out there, you know? So it's like so many things that, you know, it's not even just the team itself, even the announcers, like people don't necessarily like them either. So there isn't much to like right now. We have to make changes. I don't care what you need to do if you have to hurt feelings, but there are certain people that it's, you know, that expression, like, we must protect this man. That's Veritek for me. So I would not let him take that. I wouldn't let him take the man. If he wants to be special advisor, continue being a special advisor for as long as you want to. And you can do that for the next 15, 20 years and you can be the assistant manager. Mm-mm. But I don't ever want to hear Veritek and fired in the same sentence ever. I just can't.
You can be Johnny Pesky. Sure.
Yeah.
Johnny Pesky was hitting fungos when he was like in his 70s.
Why not?
Sorry, Chris, I think Doug made a point before, right? Like at some point we got to look at the players here, because we could talk about managers, general managers, different story, but managers, coaches, hitting coaches, pitching coaches, at some point, the players got to get it done.
Yeah.
If there's a player out there that you think is like quasi potentially on the market, who would you want? And like, what are you willing to give up now? Because I think it's a very different story now looking at this team. And I get it's a very small sample size, but I think all the things that we were concerned about that could potentially be a problem with this team have already been a problem. And the thing is, we don't have the talent and the ceiling in a lineup perspective to get us out of it.
No, you don't. You've traded away all your prospects for temp solutions. You know, you decided to hire the, and I don't, that's a bad example. You've given away some of your top prospects in just fact. You gave away Tibbs III for a rental of Dustin May. And then you've given away the password for a pitcher who you were hoping that was going to become a starter, but just got shelled in his real only opportunity in Boston. So those are two of the big names. The big three are already up. Marcelo Meyer is there. Kyle Teal is gone. And he's injured, so I don't know when he's going to come back. And then, you know, Anthony's here. And yeah, Anthony had a home run and whatnot, but there's going to be some growing pains with those rookies. I am very curious to see what happens with the password and Tibbs. Tibbs is going to come back. He's going to be a Dodger at some point. I don't know if it's going to be this year. There's a couple of players that are kind of on the depth chart in front of him, but Tibbs, in theory, I think could be a starter on a Major League Baseball team if it wasn't the Los Angeles Dodgers. I really, really do. Because that team is so, they're the only team in baseball, I think, that if there really truly is a hole or an issue, they will get it resolved within 24 hours. Whereas the Boston Red Sox, they're like, yeah, we'll deal with that eventually. In year three, there's another problem. And, you know, you're trying to put a Band-Aid on the Titanic. It just doesn't work. You can keep trying if you want, but you're a moron if you try it. And that's what they're doing. Meanwhile, you know, the Dodgers are truly unsinkable. And there are a couple teams that are willing to do whatever they need to do. Dombrowski is another one. The Phillies are going to plug whatever hole they need and they're going to get the job done. Red Sox just aren't there. They're just not. It's sad.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, I don't really have a name for you of who we would go get to, like who would be available, but it's just, if you're finding a bat, it just has to be a power bat. That's the only, if they're not hitting, if you're not bringing in a guy that's going to hit or that traditionally has hit 30 plus home runs, there's no point of bringing in anyone, because that's, you're just going to bring in more of the same of what we have. And that's not going to get us anywhere. We need home runs. If you're not going to bring in home runs, the only other, you know, unless you bring in a second ace, I think those are the only two moves that are worth making at this point. Cause I don't want to just bring in another 12 home run guy that's going to make errors in the field. You know, if they're not, you either got to make a move, right? You got to make a move for a 30 to 35 plus home run guy,
right?
Or you know, you can never complain about getting like a legit second ace or something like that. Which I'm not saying they, I don't think they would ever do, but those are the only acceptable trades at this point, I would think.
I got news for you. I even if you added Tarik Skubal to this team, I like, oh, cool. We won't be in last place. That's about all I would guarantee. I don't even know if I could tell you we'd be in second place in our division because I just don't have any confidence to score runs.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's just, it's too much to go out there and be like, hey, Garrett, Tarik, just give up like one or run, one or less runs. We'll be good. And let's face it, to Charlie's point earlier in the show, the only thing that's gone right was game one. And that was really a 1-0 game up until the ninth inning. Like, yeah, we got that 2-run home run to make it 3-0. But like, you pretty much asked Garrett Crochet in the majority of that start to be like, hold a 1-run lead.
It's going to be a sad year, guys. I mean, I don't know how people want to look at it. They could do whatever they want, but I don't think that our aspirations or our dreams of what we thought was going to happen are going to pan out. And it sucks because, I mean, it's not like we were given no money. Terry's mentioned it. You guys have mentioned it in the past. Like, you guys had the money and you invested it so terribly and have made such bad decisions. Each decision that's been made has actually made the team worse. Not a little bit, a lot of it. And it's clear that you do not have even a top 25 guy in there that's smart enough to make the decisions. And I'm not saying that any of us would be more qualified or better to do that because hindsight's 20/20. You never know what you're going to get. But you just said it, Doug. I mean, what's the purpose of adding a guy that has position eligibility or can only hit 5 to 10 home runs and none of which would have been a home run, maybe one at Fenway Park? Why? Why did you add them? Because you really had no backup plan? Like, did we really lose out on Alex Bregman? Jeremy and I were talking about this. Like, did we really lose out on him? Like, I'm okay that we didn't get him, but I wanted to have another option in there. Kyle Tucker is another left-handed bat. I don't know if we're going to get him, but get somebody. You lost all your offense last year. You traded. You lost Devers and Bregman in less than a season. That's insane production that you cannot just trade for. And you're losing trades, which means you're gonna pay up the you-know-what to get talent in here because Boston is not a destination city. That's just a statement of fact right now. Like, no one's saying, oh yeah, bring me to Boston because we're gonna like absolutely make it rain. It's gonna be raining tears because we're gonna be getting slapped around so bad. It's not fun. It's really not fun. I don't think one team in baseball looks at the Boston Red Sox and says, damn, I wish we were facing anybody else. Like, if you're any team in baseball right now, you're like, please give me four. Give me four. Give me a four-game set. Give me four. Let's sweep or let's get three. Because all you have to do is drop 3 runs or 4 runs and you guys got it. If an opposing team has dropped 3 runs before the fourth inning, it's curtains because you're only going to score another run or two. And that's not to say that they won't score more runs. I know it sounds like we're just hating, but every decision that's been made has been awful and they've invested the money so poorly. I'm not shocked that the team is doing as bad as they're doing right now. And I'm disappointed in myself that I manipulated myself into thinking we're actually going to win over 80 games. There's a very good chance that we don't win 80. I don't think we're going to be able to come out of it. I think a sub 80 season is very much in the future for us right now. Anything else you guys want to add?
No, I'm good.
No. Doug, before we end, is there like any fun game that you could think of the 1,000 games you've attended that we can just end on a positive note that you just want to bring like a source of light to us?
Yeah,
I mean, you went to a Britney Spears concert. That doesn't count. Crazy.
It was the Britney Spears concert was the day before I started second grade.
That's insane. But carry on. Okay, is that your favorite sporting event? Because I mean, if it was at Fenway, I would count it.
So a good game that I was at that doesn't get talked about a lot was the 2003. Playoff series with the A's when Trot Nixon hit the walk off to dead center.
And you were there, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably – did you catch the ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Got the ball. Exactly. Nice. Well, we had to end it on a positive note because this was a sorrow show. That is going to do it for the Bastards. That is going to do it for the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Everyone have a great one. Take care.